everybody, and welcome to Radio Radar, episode 109. I'm your host, Henry Gilbert, and I'm here with
Lorenzo Valoria,
Anthony Snyder,
Lucas Sullivan,
and Ashley Reed.
And this is the regular weekly podcast from GamesRadar.com, where we talk about the big news of the week, what reviews there were, we talk with the community, and we also start every episode with the top seven of the week. And this week's top seven really ties into something that we have covered a lot in the past month. Boy, have we.
Boy, howdy.
Did I not send you the top seven jingle?
No, you didn't.
Son of a
bitch. God damn it, Lorenzo.
I'm sorry. I'll send this week, it for next week.
Well, hey, that's something to look forward to for next week, guys. Yeah. But this week is the top seven reasons we love Smash Brothers. That's not the exact headline, but gets it across.
And just so no one is confused, we have brand new sounds for our top seven, so don't get all weird out. It's going to be crazy,
so
I think you can handle it.
I will raise my hand like this, and that's when you will play the number, so it won't be just me saying a number and then you having to play a number,
because
that is weird that we were doing that for the past like 10 episodes.
Right? And the best thing is the audience can't see you raise your hand.
So let's get started.
Seven.
That sounds so weak.
The seven. Seven.
Number
seven. Seven.
Number seven is hearing seven. The fans chant your name. Now, this is why this goes for the entirety of the Smash Brothers universe of games, like all the games, not just the satisfying 3DS release. This goes for all of them, just why, like, all of us in this room have put, like, hundreds of hours into Smash Brothers over the decade.
It's all about college.
Yeah.
And so it's really awesome to hear the unseen fans of the game just shout your name after you do a really cool thing, like after you beat... after you knock off like two dudes in a row, or you throw some big bomb that hits everybody, or you get that, you know, stage clearing Donkey Kong hammer and just smash everybody off the off the thing.
Toad Link.
Our commenters filled us in on why and when this happens. It's when you are at a high percentage.
Came us.
Wow. When you're at a high percentage and you kill somebody, then the game says, whoa, like, nice move.
You're pretty cool.
And the way they show their appreciation.
That?
No, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
I just thought
Smash.
It was like when
yourself.
Like coming back from... I thought it was a stock thing, to be honest. But no, I'm wrong.
Oh.
You are wrong. But
so wrong.
It's cool to just hear the voices because there's not like... Technically, there isn't... They don't make the game like there's an audience watching you. Like they don't imply, the audience is in on
you
this.
You never see it's silhouettes
just,
of a...
Yeah, but then all of a sudden, like, it just starts the chanting, and you feel like a badass when you hear that chanting of a character.
Where would the audience sit? I guess they would sit behind the glass.
So it's like a diorama?
Yeah, that the characters run into when you knock them off stage.
Oh, okay.
I prefer to imagine that it's all in the kids' imagination, that it's based in the N64 continuity where Master Hand is really just a child playing with toys.
A child with gloves.
a young Michael Jackson.
Easy now. Easy.
Do we have any clips of these sounds, Ashley?
We actually do, and I actually have a brilliant idea. Instead of doing the numbers this time, you say the number, and I will play the sound clip I've got.
Ooh.
There we go.
All right.
Let's try that.
How about... Okay.
Wait,
but I want to hear it. Number six.
Or maybe it's
six.
Yeah. You never... We don't know yet.
We got Batman.
Wait, you had a clip
numbers.
That went perfectly with this entry, Ashley.
Yeah, why don't you
We just
it?
Heard it.
Yeah.
Play it again. It feels good. Feels good.
Pretty boss.
Are you crying, Anthony?
Did you know that in the 3DS version, somebody found they actually have the chants for the ice climbers in there?
DLC. Hello.
Downloadable content.
Only for the new 3DS, though. They made it very clear, like, it can't.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. You're blowing the roof up.
They're not in the game because the 3DS can't take it. Really... Sakurai has been clear this in some statements lately that The 3DS version ruined the Wii U version. Did you like transforming characters? Well, the 3DS couldn't handle it. Did you like Nana and Popo? Well, the 3DS couldn't handle the two of them moving at the same time.
I actually hated the transforming characters. I'm so glad that Zelda's
in the movie. I kind of like them, too.
I liked that. That was fun.
I'd rather have them be two separate characters. Because you miss out on one special move if otherwise.
I figured Nintendo would have learned their lesson with Wii U being like, oh, it's a different system with more capabilities.
You mean PU?
Very good. The name is so close that this is just going to confuse people again to say like, hey, can you get me the new 3DS? Oh, the new 3DS.
They come, the parents come back like, well, they sold me this XL that's colored like an NES. They said it was the newest one. And they're like, Mom, goddammit.
Is that how you talk to your mother?
That's how they would.
Mom, fuck you, Mom.
Let's move on to the next number.
You didn't hold your finger up.
What is that sound of, Henry?
That wasn't a number.
I just said don't listen to me.
Number six.
Do the number six.
I want to hear the guy.
All right,
show off your prowess here.
Fine.
Six.
No, I was right.
Six.
Number six, making a perfectly timed reflect block. All right, so reflection is an art form, really, in the Smash Brothers world.
It's like parrying a little bit.
It's parrying, yeah, but of melee and projectile attacks, and not every character has it, so it's also part of like their balance. But that's why, like the N64, when it kind of sucked when there were like two characters that had reflex. It was like Fox and Samus, and I feel like they were
Mario.
Mario didn't have his cape.
He got cape in melee.
That's why it was a side B in the first one.
Ooh, can't remember.
What did he have? Well, I think he just had the spin attack thingy.
Spin was always down. Yeah. Up was that fireball. I can't recall.
Did they not have side Bs?
They maybe didn't have side Bs.
I don't think they had side Bs. Mm-hmm.
What? PK Fire was in the original.
Yeah, but that was just standing B.
No, the standing B is the...
It's true.
See, a lot of you people just play melee too much. You forget about the N64 one, man. But anyway, yeah, the reflex that more characters get reflex as it goes on. Like, and some only have melee exclusive reflex, like counter attacks too. And just getting it, it just feels so great to like as Mario when I play as him to do the cape. Whip, whoosh. And then just send it right back at that person who thought they were going to get you with that bomb.
Yeah. I also feel like spot dodging feels similarly satisfying to just be like, oh, you used your final smash? Well, whoop, balanced on one foot with my hands out and you missed.
Dodge!
Sucker.
Dodge. It's like Neo. It's like Neo in the Matrix.
That is a great feeling. And though, as somebody who has gone against like Fox's... reflector. Ugh. It also feels good to break that and then have him just be like dizzy the whole time, and then it's just an instant kill. Unless you're a total F up, it's an instant kill.
You grab him, do the back throw with Mario, and he does a full spin, the Bowser spin.
Nice.
That's his strongest throw.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Anybody else have thoughts on reflection, or should we move on?
Zelda's got a really good one because people always forget that the diamond attack does reflect, and it blocks. It reflects from any direction. It could be from behind you or anything. So, like, you can make it look like you're not paying attention, and then just go.
Does Sheik's teleport do that, or is that just like hitting people that are nearby?
No, I don't think Sheik has.
That's not a thing.
No.
Dang.
Okay.
So what am I doing?
Do a number and then the sound effect.
Okay,
if you have one.
Here we go.
Five.
Oh, there we go.
That was intense. Wow. The bass on that was intense.
So number five is diving deep into video game history. This is just a general one about the game. The game loves video game history. Like there have been other crossover fighters. But they just kind of get by on, hey, we got all these people. Who cares? Like, or like, they're here. Who cares about their past? But, like, all the different, so many different alternate costumes. Like, this is him from the NES game. This is him from his NES spinoff. Like, or all the trophies, like hundreds of trophies.
Yeah. So
all
many
with like a paragraph of text that's funny and historical.
And has like in jokes packed into every single
one. And all the and all the assist trophies as well.
Yeah.
Like that do like move like their characters. And even when it comes to non-Nintendo characters, like they'd be good enough of just having like, hey, we got Sonic, we got Pac-Man, we got Mega Man. But they have assist trophies for those characters as well for Namco and Capcom and Sega. And just bringing them in and have their own trophies as well. Like, and then there's the music, which covers all of like video game music, or like all the best Japanese
everything.
With new arrangements,
all of it.
With new arrangements, but and you can tell Sakurai is a big video game music fan because he hires the right guy. Like he just hires dudes to do arrangements, like Yasunori Mitsuda, like who is famous for the Chrono Trigger soundtrack and a bunch of other awesome ones. So yeah. Any other thoughts on
it? Yes.
Did I kind of cover all of it?
You did. I think so. My one like nerdy freak out was when Pac-Man had a Tower of Druaga taunt, which I didn't even know there was a Namco game until he did it, and then I was like, "Oh my god!" And that was my moment.
An in joke that most people wouldn't even notice.
I remember that game.
I just like the skins. Like, got rotating through all the skins
anime.
And stuff.
Yeah, the skins are good.
Like Toon Link's got like the original brown sleeves from the original
tunic.
Zelda artwork.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, he has his He has his original Legends of Zelda and a Link to the Past outfit.
There's a Shadow Link skin.
Yeah, and the Shadow Link and the
Shadow
Fierce Link. Deity ones. Like they're not just two different colors put together. Like it's different face paint. It's different emotion on their face. Or like in the cases of. Olimar or Wario or in the Japanese version Bowser Jr. Oh wait, this is after the release. I can say it. Yeah, and Bowser Jr. too. Like all the different all the different Koopalings. Like they have very different outfits for them, just to kind of sneak in more characters.
Yeah, and I like how the normal adult Link he has. A costume that you don't really even know what it is yet. It's from the trailer
with the white eyes.
Yeah, the white.
We were
white costume.
I think that's
it is Skyward Sword. Yeah. It's a lot like it's his opening. Isn't it his opening tunic from Skyward Sword? His tunic from the opening.
No, it's not exactly the same as that. It's like you haven't seen it before. And it kind of looks like the new trailer. It looks like the Zelda Wii U trailer. But also, the Zelda Wii U trailer's costume kind of looks like the Skyward Sword costume.
And then there's also the one other favorite of mine is Sheriff, the assist trophy, which Sheriff is like the first character Nintendo ever made. Like
and
the
that
first
was the
real
first
character.
Game
and the first
Miyamoto
game Miyamoto did character designs for, which is just a completely yellow man blob thing with a gun
and a hat
that shoots blue guys who also wear hats.
He's a garbage assist trophy, a cool reference.
Well, but he can only shoot in eight directions, which is exactly how he could play in the original version too. If you look at that game from 79 and compare it to Donkey Kong from 81, like it is night and day. Like there is no the big
Mono
difference
color.
2 years makes there. All right.
Yeah.
Four.
I like that.
I like that one.
Hey.
Bastard Kirby!
Hi. So yeah, this is knocking everyone off the stage and then taunting.
Well, you didn't get show me your moves, Ashley?
I thought about it, but it was too obvious.
Kirby had a great one. I played as Kirby in Melee just to use the taunt because it was so good. He just waves his arms and he goes, hi!
You must love his down B also. Like,
yeah. You could smack people off the stage. It's pretty sweet. Yeah.
Although I like Bowser's down B is pretty much the same, though you just get a more of a break, like it's less of a warning, I think people get. But yeah, you know, you're beating up everybody, you finally like you do awesome and you knock everybody off the stage, you're just gonna wait for them to respawn. But that'd just be boring just to stand there. So, you know, taunt.
Yeah, what else is there to do? you can't just, well, I guess you could go pick up items if you're playing like that baby style, but
But don't be
real Smash players. Only play as Star Fox on final.
Well, Star Fox is not a Star Fox is not an S tier character.
They're gonna call you
anymore,
out for
according
You're
to
gonna
some.
Get hate for that.
Oh, what are the tiers now? I haven't even looked.
I've been reading somebody doing research on this right now, and for a feature in the future, a future feature. But apparently the feeling right now is there is no S tier character. Like there's no character that is
there's no Meta Knight.
There's no Meta Knight. There's no Fox for Melee. There's no character that is like so far and above everybody else. So I feel like Duck Hunt's close. Like
gotta bring up my
Zelda. If you get in his face, then he's like kind of screwed.
I guess so. Yeah. Well, he should be a distance guy. Like and his guns are his thing. Anyway, the taunts are cool. I love annoying people with taunts. It actually was like something I did first in the Mario Golf games for the N64 and then just kind of followed it up.
I didn't even know they had taunts in them.
Oh, yeah. You just go like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up.
Wow.
Hurry up.
That won't make your friend punch you, no.
That sounds awesome.
And that's what people were doing with like, you're too slow, you're too slow. And that's gone now. You're too slow is gone. And people are sad. It's still the same Sonic voice. But no more you're too slow.
What does he say now? Like, come on.
Sonic
up.
Speed.
Chili dog.
Chili dog.
Chili dog.
No, super Sonic speed.
I wish he said
what is the how dog, come they don't have a golden Sonic do? Skin? That's what
Well, because that's his transformation.
That's his
final
smash.
That's his final smash is transforming into him.
Duck Hunt goes, he does.
Does he not do the laugh?
So his laugh is wins. The intro.
Ah. Or his win. Like his win pose.
Which
is
kind
laugh.
Of a missed opportunity.
It'd be so OP to have the OP. It'd be just, yay!
Well, he lackadaisically, like, he does giggle,
he
but it's more
out.
From, like, lounging. He's like,
I guess because he can't be holding the duck by the neck anymore, because that'd be effed up.
No, he only does that when you succeed. You know, when you shoot a duck, he holds the ducks. But then,
if he was laughing at you, there'd be no duck. He's pointing at you, and the duck flies.
He goes
away.
Like this with two hands.
Wouldn't it be awesome if the duck laughed at you too?
Even the duck are buddies now.
Yeah, I know, but like the duck wants revenge on the player just as much as the dog.
Three.
Where are these?
I'm here for a little divine intervention.
Ooh, oh my!
The rush of excitement of a new character reveal. As I pointed out in the article, I wrote the article, by the way. I should have said that at the start. But as I pointed out in the article, like, the game, since the 2001 release of Melee, it's been every 6 to 7 years you get a Smash Brothers. Like, it's not an annual franchise. So every character reveal is a giant event because, like, if that character doesn't make it in this game, you're going to be hoping to see them in the next game in like 2020.
Yeah,
like you better hope like, boy, I hope in 2020 on whatever the next console Nintendo hopefully makes. Like, I hope we get Mewtwo.
We
can't get Mewtwo this time.
I remember I freaked the hell out when at the E3 announcement of Mega Man. Like, he threw the metal blade on. I was like, oh, shit.
That was pretty great. Yeah. We were all in the same room.
I'm like, ah!
Yeah. God, it's Mega Man!
And then Tom Magrino was just looking at us like, you're all crazy. it is awesome to see those reveals, especially when they, like, the best reveals were when it was like a three-tier one of just like, okay, here's the new guy. Here's two new guys, like in the E3 reveal of 3DS Wii U. It was the villager and who's the other one in the first one, the new guy?
Was it Little Mac?
No, it wasn't Little Mac. But it was definitely villager. But villager was there, and then all of a sudden at the end, boom, Mega Man shows up, and nobody knew they'd have a new third-party character.
We were
so
still
baller.
Absorbing the two they had shown, and then weave that in.
And then Mega Man just,
he just like throws his metal blade, and it like shaves Mario's mustache off, and oh man.
And then I was there when they revealed Pac-Man to the crowd of Smash Brothers fans at E3, and like they also freaked out because it was so awesome to just see Pac-Man, Sonic, Mario, and Mega Man. All on one screen together.
Duking it out.
Like, they all are allowed to be in the same game.
It's finally happened.
So, yeah, it's like, it makes each character reveal a giant, giant deal. Like, and they put a ton of work into those trailers, too. Like, those trailers, like, am expensive.
Which never make it into the game.
Also, this there should just be a freaking movie mode to watch this trailer.
Digital download.
Seriously.
Day one digital.
This is a deep cut, but if you're ever on the YouTubes, look for Confirmed for Brawl from Wacky Game Jokes for Kids.
That was funny. I've seen
what?
You know what I'm talking about.
It's pretty funny.
With the air horns.
Of course.
What's that all about?
Of course you do.
Go watch it.
Just look it up.
You watch it.
Oh, I have many times.
Do it again.
All right, then.
One. No, you
missed one.
Skip.
Did I
two.
Dang it, Ashley.
Just skip two, number two. Right?
Dang it.
That's a preview of what's coming.
Sound.
I love that sound.
That kind of sounded scary, actually.
Number
like a
two,
jump scare.
The sound of a home run bat smash. And the other great sound effects in the game.
Mm.
Also, people are yelling at us for not having meteor smashes in the article. I'm going to lump that in with the sound of hitting a home run
bat. It's just a home run bat is just like such a specific, like that's the first sound I think of.
What does a meteor smash count as?
It's when you do an attack and there's like a split second of a white flash at like some point of the attack.
Zelda has one
so
of those,
it's super
yeah.
hard to hit, but mm-hmm. when you do hit it, it's like, you're dead.
Zelda's got one of those in her jump kick. If you get it like just right, it'll go booking.
Yeah. Part of learning a new character is finding out like which moves are going to be the biggest payoff for me.
Totes.
The developers put a lot of work in just having a very satisfying just sound effects for pretty much every item and distinct ones too. So in all the crazy chaos, you'll hear like kaboom! Oh, that was the ba-bomb. Kaboom! That was a different one. That was a bomb chew.
And even pauses the screen for like a split second, doesn't it? Like. It feels like it.
It feels
the home run.
Feels like time slows.
Maybe just those two characters. It does something so that it makes that impact even crazier.
Though sometimes I like to throw the home run back because people are always expect like once they know you've got it, like everybody's like, stay away from this guy, and so then you're like, all right, fine, throw, and it's a really powerful throw.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Throw it off the stage.
Okay,
get
now
it. Items out of here.
One.
Are we good?
Oh, we win.
I don't like Peach's pretend like she's too modest. Like she's like, oh, did I win? Oh.
She's faking.
Like, yeah,
she knows she's beating the shit out of those guys.
Okay,
with her butt smash.
Yeah,
I love that butt.
Here's a frying pan. Here's a golf club.
But yeah, the winning screen is just the nice finish to the whole thing of like seeing your character do one of their unique celebration poses, and then all the rest of the characters just stuck in the background clapping like, yeah. Cool, though I love Kirby's little clap, like he can't even touch his hands over his head. Like, yeah. Clap. He's just
can't reach around the front.
So fat.
He has to go to the top.
Sadly, the losers clapping from the background isn't a thing on 3DS.
Can't fit it in. 3DS is
too intense. Too intense.
Too much processing power.
But from playing the Wii U one, we know that is in the Wii U game. Like the clapping is in the Wii U. So, you know, like a lot of things, the Wii U version is going to be better.
So many things. Mm-hmm.
What's anybody have a favorite win animation?
I like the little Mac one where the trainer comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Doc. You did it, Mac.
I like one.
On to the world championship.
I like the one where Toon Link chases after the pig and then picks up the pig.
Yeah.
Oh, sometimes he fails to pick up the pig and falls in his keister.
Yeah,
oh,
really? That mm-hmm.
That's the only one I've ever seen, so it'll be interesting.
Good God.
Probably because you were playing with me and I kept winning.
Wow.
Oh.
I like Luigi does the little finger guns point, pow, and then they like he just kind of swings back and forth from them in his idle animation. I like that better than when he just like planks, basically.
Oh yeah,
I love that. I love that because he goes to full plank and then bounces back up to standing.
And has like dead eyes, like just like
soulless. Should have put in the stare. Dead eyes.
What if he did the death stare? That'd be sick. Yeah. It's like
freeze
Luigi
everyone
wins, and he's like,
Ashley, I haven't heard you pick one.
Oh, she did.
What, the other Link one?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, fine. Mm-hmm. And that's the end of the top seven, right?
Yeah.
There's a sound effect for
there's
that?
There's no sound effect.
No, I really want to play
the top
now.
Seven.
I want to play it again.
Yeah, we could do a four-player match. But I got to, Lucas has got to leave. But
I got a piece.
We still got four copies.
Bye.
But wow. Yeah, so that's the top seven for this week. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, some small news, a discussion of one review, and that's it.
Radio Radar is brought to you in part by Audible.com, where you can download audiobooks like Extra Lives, Why Video Games Matter, and Ready Player One. Download a free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/gamesradar.
And we're back for the current events segment. All right, so I was skimming the news, and there wasn't really any like big news that we would be interested in, other than like Quan Chi. Like, oh boy, Quan Chi is in
Quan Chi.
Yeah, that guy.
Mortal Kombat.
He's not the
X.
coolest villain.
He's got a pretty cool. He's not fatality. Cool.
But his fatality is like okay. So brutal. If you haven't seen the trailer, you can watch on the site. But the gist is that he hypnotizes his opponent and then makes them walk into his sword mouth first. And for me, the Ooh. Image of it going through your teeth is what makes me shudder.
It's basically that scene from X-Men First Class at the end.
I don't remember that scene.
Oh, wait, where he puts the dollar, the coin through Kevin Bacon's brain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's no, like, it's the scene from Terminator 2 when the Terminator's impersonating the lady and then he has his arm as a giant scissor blade through her head.
Just through her fucking face.
Yeah, it's a combination of those two scenes from those two movies. That's exactly what it is.
Though, as I said to Anthony today, like, no, I don't think any new Mortal Kombat character past Mortal Kombat 3 is great.
No.
I stop at 2.
I still think they're a good two original. I mean, Striker sucks.
Striker is but trash.
I love Striker.
He brings a gun to a fist fight.
I got Ultimate MK3 for Sega Genesis on Christmas. I was so excited until I popped it in and played it.
Well, it's too good. Like they had to compromise so many things to get it on the Genesis. I played the Genesis version too. Like it was
Super
crap.
Nintendo.
It was a little
better.
Played
Mortal Kombat Trilogy on N64.
I like Trilogy, but I just don't like all the... It was all the ninjas. What's up with all the ninjas?
I'm actually excited to continue the story from MK9.
Yeah.
Is it going
It is
to,
a direct
is
it, continuation.
Is it direct continuation?
Yes, yeah, man.
I'm excited to see Cassie Cage do a Nutbuster because everyone's talked about it, but I've never witnessed it for myself.
Yeah, Cassie Cage seems cool. I like Master Blaster. I don't like Bug Lady. Not into her.
Well, wait.
Master
you should explain,
Blaster. Master
Henry,
Blaster?
That.
Master
so
Blaster?
There's a character. I forget their names. It's like Tar and Ghoul or something like that. And
Grizzgross and Fager.
Sounds like you're making that up, but
no,
but you're not. It's a big dude, big surly dude, with what looks to be a child on his back, but it's actually just, in your words,
woman.
A tiny woman,
a tiny woman, a large
so
man and a tiny woman.
If you do a fatality to them, we don't really know how that plays out.
You just do it to the big guy. Well, because one of their three battle stances, because you can come in with three different battle stances for characters, which changes up their move sets. One of them is just that the little lady stands to the side. It's just that guy. So they don't do any cooperative
hey there,
move.
Little lady.
He's like, you're not killing me.
That's weird.
But
it's like Pokemon Trainer.
when I discussed the game with the at E3 with the developer, I said like, yeah, this guy's Master Blaster, but nobody else is like nobody in the who came to E3 with me even knows who Master Blaster is.
And then
the person showing the game was like, internally we were calling him Master Blaster. that was the nickname for him.
It's pretty funny.
But so yeah, there's that. A couple things I want to highlight. One was just that Bayonetta 2 is almost out, and I'm just so tired of like seeing people asking the not even director of Bayonetta 2, Hideki Kamiya, the director of the first Bayonetta, who keeps getting messages from people saying like, why don't you make it on other systems? Put it on the PS4.
I wrote a commentary about that many moons ago.
Well, he had his most lengthy reply ever, and it feels like this is the last time I'm talking about this, guys. But he just said, like, we started working on Bayonetta 2 as soon as we finished 1. Then the situation with Sega changed. He said something to that effect. And then he shopped it around to other places. Nobody was taking it until Nintendo showed up and they were going to do it. So Nintendo paid for it to exist. they have a financial stake in the game. So they would have to agree to let it appear on Microsoft and Sony systems, and I don't see why they would do that.
We'll see it on 3D. We'll see it on 3DS before we see it on another console.
Like, how about we just give you these sales for no reason?
I mean, like this pile of money.
You can have it.
Yeah.
Bayonetta.
Oh, the fans really want it. We'll just put it over there. Like, why have it? Why have an exclusive on the Wii U, one of our only freaking exclusives? Let's just give it to the Microsoft people. I mean, if we don't, they might have to buy a Wii U, and we wouldn't want that. Like, the reason you fund exclusives is because you want people to buy your system. So the opposite response shouldn't be, now I got to buy your system? Like, yeah, that's the plan.
That's the idea, yeah. I'm honestly flabbergasted that people don't get this. Like, I have no idea what there is not to get.
It's entitlement. It's purely entitlement.
Well, I'm going to be nice in this and just say that I empathize with people who just want to play it on the system they own, like, and also to continue to win achievements and trophies for it instead of nothing. But yeah, it's just not, that isn't reality. You would have just as much luck asking like Halo to appear on the Wii U. Like, it's not the same. Like, so yeah. Anywho, I just liked his comment on it, and it feels like going to be the last time he says it. Like, seriously, shut up. No.
From now on, I'm just deleting
link them
you
to
all.
That tweet.
Well, he just blocks everybody. Like, that's something I like about Kamiya, is that he's a real grumpy guy.
There's no
just
filter.
Like, but he also just replies to everybody. But if they ask a question, like even one that seems like it doesn't seem like a super stupid question before you ask it, where you're just like, well, hey, is Wonderful 101 supposed to look like Beautiful Joe? And then he will say blocked and link to an old tweet where he says, like, stop asking me about Beautiful Joe and this. It's not the same game. Shut up. Like, he's just a blocker big time. Though maybe he's just saying block and he doesn't even really block him. Then the other big news, PlayStation Home, no more.
No!
Homeless.
What are we going to do now?
PlayStation
homeless.
Yeah. But seriously, though, I mean, come on, who didn't see this coming?
Like, I played it for like 30 seconds and said,
"Oh, same here.
Never again."
I walked around the town and I'm like,
"Did you play the? Oh. Did you play the? Did
that,
you play
I
the
guess.
Mini golf? It was good." Ish. I got a Tekken T-shirt.
It's just such a weird concept. Yay. It's like, hey, let's
it
make this
life.
Sort of MMO.
Let's make Second Life.
Yeah.
It wasn't the thing, like, there were arcades in the game, but they made you wait in a virtual line to play them?
To make it feel real.
To make it feel real.
Good God.
The queue.
It's
the queue.
The way it always felt to me was that it was this one guy's dream, some executive's dream in some department was like, no, we're doing this. This will be the thing that sells a PlayStation 3. And then it got so far through development, and then by the time it was nearly done, they're like, no, get out of here. You're fired. Like the guy, they get rid of the executive leaves, but they're still stuck with this thing they spent all this money on. And yeah, the most I played PlayStation Home was accidentally clicking on it occasionally. Like, all right, time to go to the store. Oh, shit, home. No.
Booting home. Installing.
No.
So home is dead. So, or will be dead in January.
Did you hear about the people that are trying to kickstart a second thing the home? They're trying to get the refugees from home.
Why wouldn't they just play Second
and it's,
Life?
It's supposed to launch in
life.
It's
filled with too many sex perverts.
Yeah. Roll of next year.
Too many.
And PlayStation
sex
Home,
in
is
life.
It?
It's not Second Life.
Sex in life. Well, no, I mean it is. As I've heard, actually on the Giant Bomb podcast, they talked about this recently, of just like, yeah, it's where like swingers meet up or people with fetishes and such, which I have no judgments on. But I'm just saying that is where those scenes are located.
What
in
about
Second
Bone
Life.
Town?
I have a friend that's
bone.
I have a friend that's a game master for Second Life, and he's just like talking about all this.
Probably sees
all
the
these
most
horrible stories.
Got some stories.
Yeah, there's just so much.
Any you can share?
Gross sex stuff. Well, there's things that you could do. You could basically put your character model in these pre-animated like scenes.
Okay.
So they'll involve like classrooms and teachers and bad students who need to be punished.
They're trying to get an A.
And there's just like it's funny because if there's no other player that goes into this scene or situation with you, you're just like playing out the animations by yourself, like, but your character's just like
your character's
bent over a chair with no person there, and it's just bizarre.
Yeah. A lonely lifestyle, to be sure.
Yeah, and
you can't even get a date in virtual reality.
Yeah.
Gosh. All right, so then previews. Did anybody preview anything this week that can be talked about? I didn't. I sure didn't.
Yeah, I had a talk with the Dragon Age developers about the customization system, which is cool. So basically, you could do anything you want with the customization. So the
sounds like Second Life.
Anything, yeah,
almost anything. Well, it's basically like they took the orange items from Star Wars: The Old Republic, where you could just swap out like materials and stuff, and you keep the look of that armor. So you could basically keep the look that you want, update it with like materials and stuff, and then it'll and it'll be just as powerful as if you found like an epic whatever, as long as you had epic material. And then
SWTOR, where you can remove the piece and like bring it with you to another item, essentially.
I don't know, I haven't actually tried it myself. That would have had to be a question that I asked him, but it just seemed kind of like a cool thing to do, because the Dragon Age 2 didn't allow you to customize your companions like at all. You could basically switch out, you know, different costumes and stuff, or not even costumes. You just give them armor and it doesn't change the look. And it's you only change the look of their weapons. But this time you could basically outfit your entire crew to be like a badass set of Inquisition dudes.
All right. Well, Lorenzo, I hate to cut you off, but I believe we're about to lose Lucas, and I'd have to talk with him about a review before he goes, because I think it is not live on the site yet when we're recording this, so I think you're the only one who's read it.
That could very well be.
But in this room. But what is Alien Isolation, the review we just posted on the site that's out next week? How is that?
The embargo is tonight, right?
Yeah, it'll post
all right,
tomorrow.
We're good.
Yeah, it posts on Friday. This will post on Friday.
Dave Houghton reviewed it for us in the UK. He described it as like, this isn't a survival. It's not a survival game. It's a survival simulator, because you are that focused on staying alive and predicting how other people are going to react to your presence for the entire game. And this is not a short game, like it might have appeared to be to some people.
Yeah, I would have assumed it was going to be like 7 hours, but it is apparently
very involved.
Multiples of that, yeah.
Wow.
And the thing Dave was really driving home in his review is that the AI is just like absurdly intelligent, because, so for instance, there's looters on the ship. It's not just the alien. There are also looters and androids that will kill you on sight, usually. And the looters...
Synthetic humans. Yeah. I believe they prefer to kill.
Whatever.
What a synthist.
So the looters will have... I mean, this is Dave's review, so I'm just parroting what he wrote, but their emotions can affect what they'll do. So if they just had a run-in with the alien, like, they'll be super shaken up. Or if you killed their friend or something and they find the dead body, like, they'll probably shoot you on sight instead of telling you to get lost. He was also saying that it's a scary game, but it's not like
jump scares or what?
It's not orchestrated scares, I guess you could say. It's not like at this time an alien will jump in your
face. Well, it's not like in, say, Bioshock, where you turn a corner and like, oh, here's the spooky like tableau that got set up for you to show up.
Exactly. I think it's not that there are none of those, and I'm sure there are some jump scares, but it's very much like, I know the alien's out there, and if he sees me, I'm dead, so I'm afraid to move right now because I don't know where it's at.
So Dave really liked it.
He did. He... Mm-hmm. Yeah, he gave it a 4.5 out of 5, but quite honestly, I couldn't tell what he didn't like about it. Then I didn't read the edited version, so this is a little outdated.
But you know that game, I am really looking forward to playing it. It sounds like a GOTY candidate.
Yeah, kind of like Shadow of Mordor. It's like, oh, this game looks good, but it's a licensed property, so whatever. But now it's like, oh, it's actually amazing as a game, too.
Though the Shadow of Mordor was not preceded by, like, a famously awful game like Alien was. Like,
that's true.
Aliens, Colonial Marines, like, that's in the courts. Like, it's in, like, people are suing each other over how bad that game was. Like, Sega's like, I'm suing you. You made it bad. And then Gearbox is like, no, I'm suing you. You made it bad.
That's next level game badness. Yeah.
So, but
it seems, from the sounds of it, like whether or not you're an Aliens fan, if you are one, this is like over the top amazing. If you, and even if you aren't, this is still a great, I guess, emergent horror game.
Mm. Yeah, I can't wait to give it a shot. And definitely got to play it for Game of the Year talks. Like, we're all getting ready to, it's time to start preparing for Game
Ramping
of the Year
up.
Discussion. Yeah.
Gotta play hella games.
We gotta get everything out of the way before Dragon Age, because that'll take
well,
forever.
Well, you will have the triple shot of Dragon Age, Assassin's Creed, and Far Cry 4 the same week.
Both Assassin's Creed.
Why is Ubisoft doing that?
And also Smash Brothers.
Yes.
Like, there will be Smash Brothers Wii U as
2.0,
well.
As it were.
Yeah. Or no, Smash Brothers for real. The real.
So what's this? Practice?
Yeah, this is practice.
That's the subtext of 4 Wii U. It's just for real. When you decrypt the code, it's for real.
For real, real, and for play.
Yes.
It's the real. Well, oh, no, in. I almost quoted. What was that shitty movie that had. Well, that wasn't shitty, but. Forget it.
I want to know now. Right. You got to tell me.
The Wachowskis finish. Film that had...
Speed Racer.
No, that Tom Hanks and...
Polar Matrix. Express.
No, what?
Polar Express?
No, the one that was a couple years, last year.
Like, that Atlas Mr. Banks.
Something?
Atlas. Yeah.
Atlas.
Huh?
Yeah.
Cloud Atlas.
Cloud Atlas. Cloud Atlas.
Love transcends
I was...
Time.
Okay. Now that I finally got there, what I was going to quote was the stupid future talk that that Tom Hanks' character has, like, you speak the true. That's a lot of legwork to get to that, but
it's worth it.
Cloud Atlas.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into the community section with your answers to last week's question of the week. Okay, and we're back for the very special community segment.
We lost to Lucas.
Oh, and Lucas left.
Yeah, he's gone.
Yes.
He doesn't get to enjoy this lovely song. On radio,
love that song. Love that song. So last week's question of the week, like, is what franchise or film, TV, music property would you love to see get its own game on the level of Shadow of Mordor? And I will start with RXB. He says, I'm a massive anime fan, so my choice would be a game based on the sitcom 30 Rock. The main gameplay is a point-and-click adventure played as Liz Lemon. Over 10 stages of wacky fun as you run around solving the issues that could affect tonight's show. The stage could be time-limited with the amount of problems you solved based on skill. At the end of each stage, you would get to watch a mini-episode of The Girly Show. Depending on how well you completed the issues, the episode plays out better or worse. It could be comedy gold.
I like that.
I would mess with that. I was a 30 Rock fan, so...
All right, next one is Ghost Rider. I would love a game based on Robot Chicken. I kind of see it playing out like Conker's Bad Fur Day, with each level being a different toy universe full of mature humor. Going up against bosses like Bitch Puddin' and Molar the Eternian Dentist.
He's the dentist who lives in the world of Masters of Universe, of the He-Man world. Basically, He-Man's dentist.
How do you not know that, Lorenzo?
I don't know.
Clearly, you haven't seen every episode of Robot Chicken.
Shame on you.
All right. Darth Ender X says, easiest question ever. Disney's Gargoyles. That show is amazing. The setting is amazing. The characters are amazing. There's so many different types of enemies in that show. Robots, cyborgs, wizards, mythical creatures, genetic monsters, etc. A high-quality game in the style of Arkham City about gargoyles would be the greatest thing ever.
Basically, like, Goliath would be controlled exactly like Batman.
Well, I wouldn't fight that. That would be interesting.
He would glide, but Goliath doesn't have a zip line.
But you have to do all your missions at night, because during the day, if you don't get back to the point of the building, you
just... Yeah. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really have items. He just has claws and stuff.
That works
pretty well for him.
It'd be a simpler game.
All right, and we have Psylocke Rules. I got to say I'm a big fan. I'm going to insert periods here. I got to say I'm a big fan of Joss Whedon's Angel. I thought it surpassed Buffy and its side characters, especially Fred/Illyria and Wesley, eclipsed its main hero, funny and gut-wrenching in Joss Whedon's way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Angel would be a good one to see as a video game. They could David Boreanaz is aging too much in real life, but so it'd be nice to see an ageless David Boreanaz in a video game. Mm-hmm. Not to be reminded of him getting like old and pudgy on the show Bones.
Bones.
As happens to all of us. I'm not saying like shame on him for getting old and pudgy. I'm just saying like it's been 20 years since Angel. Like, well, not close to it.
It's been a while.
It's been that was a
1 week since you looked at me.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. Somebody took that bait.
I
am stealing that. That was something I do on another podcast called Comedy Bang Bang. So I'm not trying to pass that off as my own thing, guys. Don't accuse me of being a joke thief. A podcast joke thief.
Podcast joke thief.
All right. So this week's question of the week is, what fan service really worked on you? As in, this would be an instance of, you know, wacky fan service in the way of Smash Brothers that gets the Smash Brothers fans really hyped, of like men openly weeping at the thought of Ridley being in the Smash Brothers game, which he actually wasn't. But did you see that funny picture of the Super Smash fan who was like, said, this is a real picture of me after my girlfriend took after they tricked me with a Ridley fake reveal. And it was like a single tear rolling down his face. Like,
oh, my gosh.
But so has any fan service, what is a moment of fan service in a game, any game you've played, that made you go, like, extra excited? Like, be extra excited.
Oh, man.
Sorry. Do you have one?
No, I can only think of what I already mentioned was the Mega Man thing, because I was just amazed at that Mega Man actually showed up. And the way that they showed him with the trailer was just absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. And like, it just shows his helmet light up and he starts throwing shit at all like Link and Mario and everybody. And I was just screaming. I was really just screaming in the room. You were there, Hank.
It would seem like something that would never happen. And then it happened.
Yeah.
The thing that would never happen happened. Yeah. That was really cool. Mine would have to be when they revealed the Tanuki outfit for for Super Mario Brothers 3D Land.
Uh-huh. Mm.
Because 3D Land made a big deal out of the return of the Tanuki outfit, which was one like Nintendo hadn't put in a Mario game since its first appearance in 3. Like it seemed like a power up that they were just like, yeah, we're not interested in that. And so then to see the tail attached to the logo of 3D Land and then have Mario appear in the Tanuki suit in the trailer, I was like, holy crap, this is amazing. And like when I got to interview the director of the game after it was released, like half my questions were about it. Like not half my questions, but I had several questions about the Tanuki suit. And that was
many
very
questions.
Exciting for me.
Many Tanuki questions.
I am drawing blanks. I'm going to pass it to Ashley.
So the one that's coming to mind is Assassin's Creed Revelations. They had on the back of the box, they're like, okay, so you're going to play as Ezio again, but who else do you get to play as? Altair. Isn't that going to be awesome? And I was super excited because I'm like, yes! Because he was and still is my favorite assassin. Unfortunately, he kind of got shoehorned into kind of these shitty one-off
over
scenes.
Ezio? Altair
is my favorite.
So boring.
Yeah, Ezio is so much cooler.
Now she's gonna play a clip. Look what you did! Look what you did!
You are completely wrong.
Well, all right, you got me there.
Ha!
Well, I bet you loved playing as ancient Altair, who can just walk and stab.
That hurt me in my heart. You don't know. It was very emotional.
It stabbed you right now.
Maybe.
It was kind of a shock to see, like, just the way they kill his wife. It was just like, dead. Like, it was just like a shocker. That was a real...
That was... The way they killed him, I was like, no!
And just seeing his, like, corpse, like, just spotting his corpse, by having Ezio meet his corpse, like, that was an interesting way to have the two main characters meet, quote-unquote. Yeah.
Spoilers, by the way.
It was pretty epic.
Revelations is a million years ago, and... From all the people I talk to about Assassin's Creed, they all go like, "Man, I don't want to play Revelations." I'm like, "You really should. Like, it's a good game." Like,
I mean,
I bought it.
I like the story. I think the gameplay is boring, but the story is really good. So. Yeah,
I don't think the gameplay is boring. I mean, you can't compare to Rome. Like,
you are completely wrong.
I won't do that.
All right, Anthony, do you have you got any?
The only thing I can really think of is I'm going to ride the import tip here.
Okay.
There was a anime series I used to watch a long time ago called Yu Yu Hakusho, and they had a non-stellar game come to the States, which was called Dark Tournament. On the flip side, they had another one released in Japan, which was 10 times better, had all the characters, was not Dark Tournament. All the finishing moves from the show, they completely threw them in along with the animations and made them completely interactive. So if you botched it, you know, your character would look all cool until if you botched that last move, then he would go, oh, he'd fall on his butt. But
it was
like a farewell to the series, I think.
I started watching Yu Yu Hakusho, and I liked it at the beginning, but then, like, I kind of fell off during the tournament arc because, like, tournament arc was so, it lasted a long time.
You got to skip.
I feel like anime make those tournament arcs because they're like, oh crap, we're catching up with the manga. We gotta give them some time.
Tournaments are great time killers. Like, you've just got a bunch of fights that can last as long as you want.
It's probably really cheap too because they don't have to draw different backgrounds.
It's the same background for like 30 episodes.
Have an audience in an arena.
They rebuild it, then they destroy it, then they rebuild it. Mm-hmm.
But there's just so much staring at, like, two guys do like one move to each other, and then they like stand back, like, huh, all right. Well, that move might be strong, but not as strong as mine. Oh, really? I don't think so.
They're also never satisfying. Like, I remember one from Naruto where it was, like, two characters going up against each other. It's like, oh, my God, I'm actually really interested to see who's going to win this fight. They end up punching each other out at the same time and both knocking each other out. I'm like, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, I'm bagging on tournaments, but I did like a lot of the tournaments in original Dragon Ball, not the Dragon Ball Z tournament, because those had no endings. Like, Cell Game was stupid, and they basically just turned into like who throws the biggest Kamehameha. Like, that's what the tournaments turned into. But in the first three tournaments in the Dragon Ball series, like, they took place every 4 years, so characters changed every time, and Goku didn't win like the first two he was in. Like, it seemed obvious, like, oh, Goku's gonna win. First he loses to Jackie Chun, who's really Roshi in disguise.
Yeah.
And then he loses by like technicality to the bald guy with the third eye. What's his name?
Tien,
yeah. That guy's a loser.
Yeah.
I mean, not a loser like Yamcha's the biggest.
We all know. Yamcha's the best. All right? He's
clearly a winner.
He's the most losery out of the three useless dudes.
But yeah, he loses to Tien. But then when he finally beats Piccolo and gets to be the champ, like, that was a really cool, like, it felt like a really hard-earned win that, like, fans had been waiting for like 5 years at that point. Those were good tournaments. Anyway, that was a whole side topic. But about, so fan service, what fan service really got you? That's this week's question of the week. Oh, and I didn't even proclaim a winner from this week. Hey, RXB, you're the winner of this week's community segment.
For that opening joke, I think,
Send me an email at RadioRadar@GamesRadar.com. Say what systems you have, and you might just get something. And you can answer in the comments for this week's question week. You might win something, too. And that's the end of this week's episode, I suppose. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and on Facebook, Games Radar. Look it up. And same with iTunes. Be subscribing on iTunes. Give us reviews on iTunes. Those are always very satisfying to read.
Check out our live stream on Twitch every Wednesday from 3:30 to 5 and Friday from 4 to 6.
You guys missed a really fun one this week.
Yeah, we did Fibbage, and it was a pretty good time. It was like four of us in there. So. Mm-hmm.
It was nice.
And
well,
lots of community members.
I think we got to play with the community, and I do think, obviously, streams are better the more people you have. Up to, like, I'd say five maybe the topper on it. If you have more than five, it's just like a lot of shouting.
Yeah, that's true. But, come watch.
So, check out all that, and until next time, Radio Radar